But I had made this commitment to God. I cut this deal with God, but I was cutting it from a perspective that, just to my knowledge, I didn't know what I was even saying. Just I knew I wanted God. I knew I wanted my life to change. And I knew I wanted God. I just simply called out to him. But it was from my will. And I lasted, 3 weeks and I started drinking again? Because I wasn't born again. It was my self-will and I really wanted to, but there was no strength and power within me to carry out that change. So I lasted 3 lousy weeks. Some of you had a stronger self-will than me, and you might have lasted a month or maybe a year. Oh, yeah, I'm going to serve God. And then you realize you come to the end of yourself, and I'm just serving God in my flesh. I'm trying. And so, Dana, what I'm saying is that there's that born-again experience in John chapter 3, verse 3. And for me, it was August 23rd, 1978, and where I surrendered my life, as we sang this morning, I yielded to my knowledge and ability there. It was just, I give up. Lord, I need you. And at that point, when that took place, Al Robinson died. Because that's what the cross, the old rugged cross, that's what it's all about. And that's why I cling to the cross today, is because that's where I died. That's where I died. And that's good news, because I died, that old Al Robinson, in baptism, goes down into the grave. Christ went into the grave. I go into the grave. And when Christ rose from the dead, ascended on high, I come out of that grave, but I'm a new person. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17, behold, all things have become new. That's what become new. All things become new because my old man died, my old nature. He died. He was buried. And now I come up, and there's two of us. The Holy Spirit and me. I'm a new creation. Are you hearing this morning? The Spirit of God comes into our life. We're a new creation. It's me and Jesus, as we say, but it's the Holy Spirit living in me, and it's no longer I live, Galatians 2:20, but Christ lives in me through his Holy Spirit. Here we go. Randy, you could say amen there. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. It really is, and what's true for me because of the Bible, it's true for you as well. It really is. But sometimes, and even in my own life as I've traveled 40 years with God, there's times that I forgot that truth. There's times that I even maybe a month ago, a week ago, that I forget and I begin to do things on my own again. When Peter offends me, when the old man rises up, I want retribution. Eye for eye, tooth for tooth. I want to, the old man rises out of the grave. But I'm mature now and I quickly recognize that. And when he calls me a lousy preacher or something like that, it doesn't affect me. I don't take offense. Why? That's the Spirit of Christ in me, upon me. And I can look at that offense and I realize there's nothing, well, I shouldn't say that. I can overcome those things. Love conquers all that. That's Spirit of Christ in us. And we can take those offenses because the Spirit of God upon us rises up within us as we look to him and we respond not in retaliation, but in love and kindness. Love and kindness. That's for all of us. That's for all of us that remember the old rugged cross. I cling to it because that's where I died. And now I am in Christ, just like you. Are you with me, Dana? Sorry, I got sidetracked. I started looking at them. Actually, some of them looked interested. So I went over there and I thought, wow. But that's why I have up you, because I have you here, is because I feel somebody's listening to me. I did a funeral yesterday, and I talked to the person after, and as there's 200 people in the building, and, as I'm talking and stuff like that, and there was one lady over to the right here, and it quickly flashing through my mind, she was listening. And so, naturally, I'm always kind of going on this side, and I actually told her after the service, my wife couldn't be there, but you kind of took her place, because Carrie Ann, she listens when I speak, and so, just like, and that encourages the preacher that, hey, somebody's actually taking something away this morning. Just a thought, a little sidetrack there. But that death is so important, Galatians 2:20. This book I shared, I brought a few books this morning just simply because I want, God speaks to me through various books, and the book has to talk about the Bible. Because all books, as you go through them, you need the Word of God out of here. There's awesome stories in this, but they have to be pointing to God's Word. So this book says, here's a book you remember, Live Dead. Remember the preacher who was here last week? Zach, and he, this book he mentioned briefly, but it's a devotional that I'm going through, Live Dead. And the guy that wrote this, I think he's been in ministry 50 years, awesome writer, and he speaks from life experience. Live Dead, that's what he's talking about. Going into the baptismal tank, dying, now you come up and you live dead. In other words, the old man stays in the coffin, stays in the grave, and the new person in Christ is the one living our lives now. Paul, Galatians 2:20, no longer I who live, Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and delivered himself up for me. And as we live our daily lives, whether brand new, born again, or 50, 60 years in the faith, it's living dead. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So there's one book, Live Dead, and interesting below, it's really good, because some people say, dead, live dead, ooh, doesn't sound good. But he's written the word joy below it. And he speaks from experience. Living dead. And that's what we're called to do, is live our lives for Christ. And that brings joy as we follow him. Okay, keep me in line, Dana. I get sidetracked. The whole message here, number one key is I want to listen to God. Listen to God. You can hear him just like I can. And quit listening to the devil. Hey, listen to God, quit listening to the devil. Because I know we've shared stories, and mine's just like yours. And so before, and when I came 21, God was speaking, but I didn't know his language. I didn't understand what he was saying, because I'd never been exposed to maybe a few, the Lord's Prayer and stuff like that. But the enemy, I knew his language. I knew his darts, his fiery darts. So here's what I want to use this illustration, is that now we're born again and we come up out of the grave and it's new life in Christ. There's three voices you're going to hear. And when voices, I'm saying impressions, things like that, okay? So there's going to be God's voice. And for you, for anybody in this room, we can be hearing God's voices. And you can detect God's voices. For me, it's, does it line up with his word? Because I'm familiar with the word, but you haven't been in the word, but you're going to learn the word. But when those good thoughts come in, like say a thought comes in, should I be kind to Judy today? It's probably a God thought. Matter of fact, I know it's a God thought. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. So a thought like that, you weigh it over, and you think, yeah, it's good to be kind to people. It's good to love people. So those type of thoughts are just, but you're going to think, oh, that's just me. Nah, that old man, that old flesh that used to be there, nah, he wouldn't. Remember, we shared the stories. We had sooner, as one brother that we've talked to in our little group that we have Tuesday nights, his testimony is there. He'd sooner punch you, you know, than say hello to you. I mean, that's his testimony. But then he says, and now I found Christ, you know. The love's coming out of the guy. And you know who I'm talking about, eh? It's kind of funny. But that's his testimony. I was mean and ornery, and I didn't like people, and get out of my face. And that's his words. But now you and I in Christ, when you hear those good thoughts of being kind, gentle, peaceful, love people, that's from God. That's the voice of the Lord. And here, we need some scripture. Kyla, are you on the, oh, I've had them here and I'm thinking, well, Sarah's not here today. What am I going to do? Let's throw John chapter 10 up there. John chapter 10, key for you and for me. Whether you're 50 years in the faith or first day in the faith, this is key. John 10, 1 to 5. Before we go there, let's go to this one. Does anybody know Psalm 23? Oh, here we go. Here's John's Gospel, chapter 10, and these are the words of the Lord. Okay, with that new Bible you got. By the way, somebody blessed Dana with a new Bible. Hey, New King James Version. But you know what got my attention this morning? You see that, Care, those little Dumi tabs? I remember those 40 years ago. Remember they were really popular? And wow, it just does, it jumps in my heart as I see this Bible. And I knew Dana this morning I was going to be speaking to him. And just those little tabs get me pumped. They take me back to 1978, 79, and the newness and freshness of God, eh? And so here we go. This is Jesus' word speaking. And when you open that book and in John's gospel, you're going to see red lettering. And whenever you see the red letters in there, That's the words Jesus actually spoke, okay? So these should be red-lettered. I tell you the truth, Jesus says, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. Could be the enemy there we're referring to, okay? The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep, okay? Keep her going. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep, key verse, listen to his voice. He calls his own. That's God speaking to us. God's always speaking to us, and he calls his own. His voice is whispering to us. He calls his own sheep by name, leads them out. Dana, Al. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him. Why? Because they know his voice. Beautiful chapter. Read it maybe this afternoon, but there it is. God speaks all the time. And we're his sheep. He's going to speak to his sheep. It's not a mystery. It's really, really simple and easy, but we do complicate it. And then when we hear his voice, what do? Obey. We follow him. And that's what obedience is all about. We simply follow the Lord as he leads us. Isn't it a simple life, Dennis? It really is if we keep it that simple. And this takes place every day of our lives. Every day of our lives, God's speaking to us. And all we have to do is listen. What's he saying? Sometimes it might be a little unclear and stuff. Then we just ask for clarification. Lord, is that your voice? There's nothing wrong with that. We should do that. Lord, am I hearing you? And then 80, 90% of our lives will just become the Spirit of God working in us. We're hearing his voice. And it's just automatic then. That automatic that when you get offended, Randy, that you respond in loving kindness, not in likeness, but in loving kindness. And that's the Spirit of the Lord. Automatic, 80, 90%. And then some of that 10% stuff, we're still going to say, hey, Lord, is this you? You know, because it's pretty, those are pretty easy illustrations to hear the voice of the Lord and be kind to somebody. But then there's the directional voice of God where he says, Tynan, go to Africa. Now that you want to weigh over, okay? Okay, so say he hears the word, go to Africa. Well, then he should begin to ask the Lord, Lord, is this of you? That's a pretty big step. And then he should look for confirmation, and God will give him confirmation, probably from his wife. And no, I'm being serious. I'm being serious because I look at my own life, and how does God, I'm getting ahead of my notes here, and I'm almost finished in time, I guess, but should I go there? Yeah, let's go there. Before we go there, though, Psalm 23 as well, because some of the seniors, Psalm 23, yes, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Oh, pretend you're a sheep, Dana. Oh, man, hot day. He makes me lie down. You don't have to work today. You lie down by green pastures. He leads me beside still waters, drink of water. He leads me. You're hot, thirsty. You've been pumping iron down at the gym, and he leads you beside the still waters to take a drink. Isn't that beautiful? He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We're to follow the Lord, but we're following the Lord. He is really guiding us. He's guiding us through the bush and the trees or the unknown. He's guiding us. That's exciting. You don't have to fear the future because he's guiding you and me. That's good enough for that verse. So that's Psalm 23. It's the same thing. In John 10, he's my shepherd. He goes before me. He's speaking. I hear his voice, and I simply follow him. And then when he leads us in the dangerous places, because there are difficult places in life, he leads us, he goes with us. His rod, his staff, they comfort us. We put our trust in him. Okay, now let's go down to the application. This is probably going to be a four-part series we're going in. I can see that now. Now we need the practical application. James 1:19. Remember, the title of the message is Listening to God. Now we're going to James 1:19. Everybody should be able to quote that. Here we go. Everybody should be slow, quick to listen. Quick to listen. You weren't listening, Debbie, this morning. Everybody quick to listen, and then slow to speak. But here's the key, guys. We're going from learning to listen to God. I didn't go into the big, a long sermon this morning about the Word of God and how important it is. We'll get to that another day. But there's nothing more important than this book. And so as, pretend I preached a good sermon on hearing the voice of God from the Bible, memorizing meditation as the Word of the Lord goes in. Pretend I preached that already. And now we're going to the next step. And we're going into the practical application. How does God speak to me? He speaks many, many times, always through his word, but through people. Would there be an amen to that one, Peter?
Amen.
Good, good. So he speaks through people. Well, which people? My dear brothers, take note. This, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. I'm going to name five quickly as we close here. God speaks through our spouses. There was one amen. We won't go very far there this morning, but God speaks through our spouses. We're married. Just on a practical aspect, look, I've been married 41 years. Do you think, why wouldn't God use the person that's closest to me to speak to me? Amen? But the problem arises in that, am I receptive of what my missus is saying? Or her to me? So we won't go too deep. February 9th is my anniversary, 41st. And I want you to be here for that sermon, okay? And I'll give you the title of the sermon, and I'm not going to speak about it until then. But it's how to, oh, no, wait, I had the title. Maybe I'm not supposed to say it here. Why can't I come? I'm not going to say it then. I was actually going to say that and set you up, but we'll leave it for a while here. Okay, but all I'm saying is that sermon is going to be about spouses, close to Valentine's Day, and just tell your friends if they're getting married in the future, you'll want to be out for that one because it's about relationship, okay? It's not coming to me. Anyways, God speaks through our spouse, okay? We're good there. How about this one? God speaks through our elders, whether they be elders in the church or an older person in your life. I don't care who they are. They don't have to have a title, but they're older than you. Do you think God does that? Like, sometimes I think we're in the habit of, you know, obviously when we get older, we're slowed down, we're running, and we look at an individual, and we think, man, maybe they haven't got as much to offer, because, you know, you want to take care of them, and you see them going into their golden years, you might say, and sometimes we quit receiving. We see that they can't run as fast as they used to, but they still can think, and they still got lots and lots of wisdom. The only thing we need to do is tap into that wisdom. A week ago Saturday, we're part of the POC, Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and our head office is in Edmonton, and they have a pastor that takes care of the pastors. He goes around the district every couple of years. More often would be nice, but the district's so big that he comes down, him and his wife, every 2 years. And Carrie Ann and I went out for breakfast with him. And for 4 hours, I sat there. He's 10 years older than me, and he's got 10 times the experience in ministry that I have. And so there I was, 4 hours. And what did I do? Asking questions. Carrie Ann and Yvonne, they're doing their thing here. They're talking and sharing with one another. But his name's Al, and we're going, I'm just asking him questions. What about this? What about that? Because he's seen so much that I'll never see because he's, you know, been around the world and this, that, and the other thing. But 4 hours. I wrote him 2 hours later, and I said, hey, Al, thanks. I says, I just feel like I went to seminary class. Took a week's course in 4 hours. But that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't have been listening. So if you take away anything from the message today, ask God to help you with your listening skills. Don't we learn so much more when we're listening than when we're talking? As I stand up here and talk 30 minutes, that makes sense, eh? But think about it. If our hearts are open, and I don't care, when you're going to, you might be... somebody that you look at their life and you might see some character flaws. Set them aside. God can speak through any individual if we're listening. Okay? So we got the spouse. We've got the elders. How about the youth? Can God speak through younger people? Who said that? Young lady at the back. Why don't we use her as an illustration? 12 years ago, I started to run. And, I even bought a book to describe it. Look at this, the Bible of running. And so I was given this book about running, and I ran. I mean, everybody runs. What do you need to read about running? Just get out there and do it. So 49 years old, somebody gave me that book, and I devoured. I thought, wow, this is good. And I went on a plan, and I followed the book. I followed the book, and I really enhanced my running. But here's where I want to go with it, is that while I was reading the expert's advice, I had a daughter. That's my daughter, for those who are visiting. That's my daughter. She had already been running, 5 years? 4 or 5 years. She'd been running the running room, taking courses, and all of this. And so all along, she's telling me, oh, Dad, da-da-da-da-da. And do you think Dad heard her? Say that again. Here, I had all the expert advice from a younger person, and I wasn't receiving it. And I would go along, and I would read this book, and then I would say, wow, I'd implement it, and I'd see results. And then I'd say, hey, Kai, da-da-da-da. Dad, I told you that last year. You wouldn't listen. It's true. And so we have that ability to shut people out in our lives. Why? Because they're younger. And we think, hey, I'm 60, they're 20. What do they know? And you all have done it. You look at a kid 18, 19, and you just smile. Oh, what do they know, sort of thing, eh? You know, we laugh and stuff like that, but they really know. They know a lot. And sometimes they know what you and I have forgot. That's why I like hanging around with guys like Dana, because he takes me back to when I was 21 years old. His experiences that are going through right now speak to my life 21 years ago, and I'm reminded, I'm thinking, yeah, I missed that. And that helps me in that I'm going to, maybe in the next month or two, or week, or maybe this week, I'm going to run into some people that are thinking just like Dana's thinking now. Are you with me? Because that's so long ago, I forget. Sometimes I forget what I was wrestling with and all of these things. And I talk to Dana, and I listen. And then God leads me this week into somebody else's life. And everything he shared with me, God's using right now. And I'm talking to a guy, and I'm thinking, I just heard this. And then I'm able, what? Better to minister the word of God, point them to Christ in a way that the guy's going to understand, because I've listened to Dana. Are you hearing me? We all go through this in life. All I'm saying is, folks, God speaks through everybody if we're really listening. Everybody. Okay, let's, one more, two more. Wow, maybe we're going into dangerous territory here. Maybe we're going, okay, give me grace here. how should I say this? Sometimes it's all in how you say it, because I can say it one way and people will feel. Oh, sorry, right, yeah. Okay, we'll go this far. God speaks to us, careful, don't judge me, through other faiths. Wow. Okay, let me explain. When I first came to Christ, I was excited. I was reading the Word of God, and it was all new. And then some people came by my way, and I invited them in to chat about the Lord. And a brawl broke out. Boom, boom, boom. And, we had quite a time. I was young, and I was taking what I knew, and they were taking what they knew of the Word of God, and we were chopping each other with the sword of the Spirit. Wow. And we didn't get but listen to me here. Over the years, I've mellowed, and I realized there's a better way to point people to Christ than beat them over the head with the Bible. And so I've realized, and so over the years, within the last month, I was in another town, took Carrie Ann for an appointment, and was, you know, hey, what should we do today, Lord? And ended up in the mall and walking by, and there was a lady there, walked by, and she had some books on the table. And, I think I smiled, said hello. And by the time I got to the end of the mall, I felt the Lord saying to me, I want you to go back. I want you to go back and chat, have a chat with the lady. Oh, okay. Okay. Best behavior, Al. And so, but I also felt him saying, I want you to go, and I want you to just listen. Keep your mouth shut, Al. And when he says that to me, it's in a good way. I don't think about shut up, Al. It's, you know, just be quiet, Al. Just listen. And so I went back, and I just started asking questions. And there was a book on the table, and of course, I looked at the book, and wow, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Yes! It's one of my favorite verses. I preach every time I do a service, a funeral service, That's my scripture. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father through me. Look at that. The person at the table here just gave me that book with my Lord's words on it. Okay? Back to the illustration of the conversation. I'm there to listen. And long story short, as I listened, asking questions, I learned some things. And in this particular denomination that this person belongs to, I remember back 30 years ago, 40 years ago, when I'd have the brawl with the guy, and I learned a lot of things back then. So now I'm asking questions, and I wonder in my mind, because I feel that there's deception, Lord, why are they deceived? What is it that they're believing that, I mean, they've got, you know, I'm reading this here, and 85% of this stuff is good. I preached 85% of that stuff, but there's an element of false doctrine in there that throws the whole thing out of whack. And so in the old days, I'd latch on to the 15%, and I'd give it to that guy 40 years ago. Boom, boom, boom. What about this? What about that? But now I'm thinking, I'm a little more mature now, and Lord, why? What's the 15%? And so all I'm doing is trying to draw out of them, where's the error there that I... And within a short conversation, because I know the Bible fairly well, is I can realize centers on Christ. When we think Christ is somebody else than who he was, we're going to be singing it soon, Emmanuel, God with us. And yet this individual, no, Jesus is just a man. And so anyways, long story short, the whole point of that was that God's teaching me continues to listen to him all the way along. And for all of us, as we want, you know, in exuberance to share our faith with somebody, sometimes God's saying, just listen, and then he'll show you, he'll highlight maybe something that you can give them a nugget of truth, not beat them over the head, give them a nugget of truth, and the Spirit of God goes home with them, because the Spirit of the Lord will be there at night when they're laying their head down on the pillow, and the Spirit of the Lord will bring the conviction that he needs to bring, not me, not us. In other words, Dana, never hit anybody over the head with your Bible. Got it? Good, good. I'm just looking forward to this guy and the growth and maturity coming out of his life. And we close with this thought. Or no, we're closed now. I was going to talk about God can speak through atheists. Maybe we'll start there next week. Church, stand with me, please. And as I said, we like to take time for prayer. The worship team can come, please. And I want you just, before I give the benediction, I want you to just ask the Lord, what has he been saying to you? Because when the word of the Lord is spoken, whether it be Psalm 23 or John 10, the Spirit of the Lord is working in each one of our hearts. Maybe saying something over here to you, totally different from those over there, but he definitely is speaking to each one of our hearts. So let's just give him a moment. Maybe we'll even play a song, Ron. And during this song, I just want you to reflect on what's been said. What is the Lord speaking to your heart? And then after, I'll give the benediction, and then we'll have a time of prayer in the assembly.